He's been good to you this morning. Give him some praise. Come on. Has he been good? Oh, thank you, Gene.
Has he been good to anybody? Amen. Has he been good to anybody? Even in the hard times, has he been good? In the good times, he's been good. In the hard times, he's been good. In the so-so time, he's been good. You know, one of my favorite things is saying, I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. What does that mean? That means I'm in God's hands. In the storm, I'm in his hands. The mountaintop, I'm in his hands. In the valley, I'm in his hands. Every single moment. Amen? Amen. Well, go ahead and take a seat this morning. You can go ahead, high five, air high five people across the way. If you weren't with us last week, we're changing things up a little bit. Is that okay? If it's not, I don't care, because we're going to do it anyways. So I do care. I love you guys very much. I'm just kidding with you. But as we go into this new season, as we go into this new series, we're calling it The Patriarchs, you know, not Your Father's Worship. We're really, it's kind of a play on that, because honestly, we want to get back to the Father's worship. And I'm not talking about your daddy or your daddy's daddy. I'm talking about the granddaddy, right? I'm talking about Adam and Eve. I'm talking about back into the garden to perfection, what God created for us, what he desired for us. And one of the things that we know, if we study our history, we go really far back, what we find is church services, worship services, right? When they would go in the synagogue, they would open up the Torah first. They'd open up the Bible first, and then they would worship in response to what they heard. Oh, yeah, it's interesting, right? You know, why? Well, because they wanted the grounds, the foundation to be laid so that when they heard the word, then they responded to the word in worship. Well, we, over the last several hundred years, have flipped that, because what we understand is, man, we've got a life, and a life not so abundant sometimes, right? Jesus said he came to, we might have a life and a life more abundant, but we've gotten so busy that on Sunday mornings, especially, what we kind of need the worship to get us geared up, to get us excited, to get us going, and then we're okay to hear the word. But the truth is, the word should be preached, and then out of that we respond in thanksgiving. Amen. Worship does not become this thing where, well, man, I've got to worship just enough so I can hear the word of God. It should be the response of, as I hear the word of God, it excites me so much, it motivates me so much, it's so much in me that it causes me to worship. Can I go a little farther here? Because I think when I read the word, when you read the word during the week, the response of reading the word should not be clicking the button saying, hey, I've made my devotional for the day. It should not just be this moment where I say, okay, I'm done. I've read my scripture. I'm good for the day. It should lead to worship. What aspect of God do I see in this moment? What do I see? How do I respond to the word that God has spoken to me? It should spur worship in me. Amen. Amen. And so that's what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks, and just kind of switch things up a little bit. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6. And then go ahead and put your fingers on Genesis chapter 12. We're gonna skip really quickly, but I want to lay a foundation here. Pastor Cole did an incredible job. If you did not hear the message last week, please, because nothing else will make sense if you don't listen to last week's message. But Pastor Cole talked about the worship in the garden. Can you imagine a more perfect setting than to worship in the garden? This perfect place that God created for one purpose, to dwell among men. That was the whole purpose. Remember, we talked 2 weeks ago but that you are the pinnacle of creation. In fact, you know what? You need to remind yourself. So look at a neighbor and tell them you're the pinnacle of God's creation. Apparently, nobody believes that this morning. Okay, you guys need to go back 2 weeks ago to listen to that message. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. You're the end of it. He said, let us make man in our own image. He took that moment. He formed you. Do you understand that? He didn't just speak you into existence. He formed you into existence. You got the fingerprints of God all over you. And not only do you have the fingerprints, but you also have the breath of God. It says that he breathed life into man. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. Okay, now tell your neighbors if you believe it. There's only a couple of you that truly believe it. You are the pinnacle. I believe it. I believe it, that you guys are the pinnacle of God's creation. When we begin to understand that concept, therefore, when he created Adam and Eve, he created them for one purpose, and that for them to worship God, amen, to be in the presence of God. And so what did he do? He created the garden, amen. And in the garden, he created the garden to do what? To dwell with man. This perfect place of worship, this perfect moment of worship. And not only did he have, therefore, the place, but understand that what God was trying to do was create a perfect relationship. It says that he would walk with them. He would walk with them. I think about that moment that God comes and he goes, hey, let's take a walk. Let you and I just go take a walk for a moment. Let you and I just kind of go. And I don't know if you've ever went on a hike before. You just went with somebody and just it's you two and there's nothing else going on. Do you know the conversations that you have? Anybody ever experienced that before? There's a depth of conversation that happens when you're on a walk with somebody. And Jesus would, or God would walk with them all the time. Perfect relationship, a perfect place. And out of that came this perfect growth or perfect multiplication, this moment where they grew closer and closer to God. They knew him more and more. And last week we saw that we lost all of that in the fall. Amen. When Adam and Eve, when they partook of the fruit, that we lost a perfect place, we lost a perfect relationship, we lost a perfect multiplication. But what we understand is that our goal then from now until eternity, and now until we spend eternity with God, is to get that back as close to as possible as we can. We'll never have perfect worship, we'll never have the perfect relationship, we'll never have that perfect multiplication until we're in heaven with him, but it doesn't mean we can't try. Amen. It doesn't mean we can't look for it. It doesn't mean that we can't hunger for it. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be desiring that moment to say, okay, God, I'm going to come back to you. And God has, throughout of creation, throughout Genesis all the way to Revelation, what we see is God is a redemptive God trying to pull us back into that. Amen. He's trying to pull us back into that relationship. And that's what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're going to look at some guys. We're going to look at some of the fathers. And we're going to say, okay, after the fall, how did you do it? After the fall, what did it look like? But we've got to recognize what happened at the fall. They lose the perfect relationship. They lose the perfect place. They lose that perfect multiplication. And life happens, and they have kids, and we can read the genealogy, and we can figure out what's going on. And then if we fast forward to Genesis chapter 6, this is the state of the world. Verse 5 says this, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's bad. Amen. He said that God looked out and said, man, they're just evil. They're always evil. There's not these moments when they're okay, and then there are moments that they're just continually evil. They're always going, the wickedness is great. I got to do something about it. It's gotten out of hand. Amen. It's like the parent that walks in and you've left the kids alone a little too long. And you're like, it's been a little too silent in there. Something's going on, and you walk in and into the room, and you're like, what happened? I thought the tornadoes were outside, but all of a sudden you look inside, and it's mass destruction in the living room, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, and you're looking, and you ask them all the same question, what happened? And you, parents, you know what the response is, right? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You're covered in ash because you've been playing in the fireplace. That's covered everywhere. What do you mean you don't know? And God looks into this moment and he looks and he's like, man, these guys are just messed up. They've went as far away as they can. So you guys know the response. God says, hey, I'm going to flood the place. All right. The only thing that's going to clean this place up is some water. I can't preach that one. I don't have time for that one. Right? But I'm going to bring some water in. I'm going to cleanse this place. But he looks out and he says, hey, I found a righteous man. One guy. Found Noah. A righteous man. He's like Enoch. He's a righteous man. If you guys don't know, you need to read about Enoch. They had the same righteousness about him. Enoch, God took. But Noah said, I'm going to leave you here because I got a plan. I got a purpose for you. You're going to, out of you, right, we're going to rebirth this place. It tells them to go, hey, build a boat. And I'm gonna flood this place, and you're gonna do what you need to do, and God floods it, right, and we kind of know the story two by two, and they walk in the whole thing, they get done at the end of the flood. Noah comes out, builds an altar. Life is great. Someone say great. It's perfect again. Right? They're just the righteous people. There's Noah and his wife and his kids, and life should be good at that moment. All the wickedness is gone. And then in steps the child named Ham. Can I tell a dad joke? I've been gearing up for this one all week. In steps Ham, and that's why God says you can't have pork. But anyways, where's my drummer at? Right, in steps Ham and messes the world up again. It's like, wait, you just saw the wickedness. You saw God saved you. Anybody understand that? Could you imagine? He's on this boat. Everybody's drowning around him. You guys, we don't think about it. We love the Noah story, but we don't really think about how horrible it was. As the waters begin to rise, and they're in the boat, and they're hearing the screams of the people. Ham lived through that. Ham should have known God has taken care of me. God has done what he needs to do. God has protected me. God has been there for me. And Ham decides in a short amount of time, well, I want to be wicked again because I kind of enjoyed that life before. And he was wicked. Brought death and destruction back into the world again. God is a loving God. Can I just tell you, I would have killed them all one more time. Like, let's start all over again. But he is so loving, so forgiving. And we journey through the book of Genesis, and we get to Tower of Babel. And here's a group of people that were told to spread out and to do what they were called to do. And what happens at the Tower of Babel, all of a sudden, not only do they disobey God's commands to spread out, but understand this. They all of a sudden started worshiping other gods. We go back into that time as polytheism. What is that? It just means many gods. And it began from Noah. Understand, Noah, who worshiped the one true God, that all of a sudden they're in this moment where they're worshiping other gods, other creations, other things, the sun god. Right? The God of the waters, the God of fertility, all this is going on. The Tower of Babel happens, and God steps in and begins to separate, begins to do some things in their lives. And then out of this moment, then we finally get to a man called Abram. Finally get there, another righteous man. You know, it's taken a long time to get there. But we read about a man named Abram, a man who's born into this polytheistic world, a man who's born into this moment of just again, depravity happening, and all these people worshiping other gods, other people, and Abram is born. In fact, if we read a little bit farther, we hear about his dad, and his dad is called and told to go to Canaan, but he doesn't go there. He just like the other guys from Tower of Babel. They didn't do what they were asked to do. And so his father sets up a tent and sets up a moment. And then Abram comes of age at some point. And God says, now I want you to go. I want you to go. In fact, if we read it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. It's interesting to me to get into Abram's moment, to get into his world, because understand where Abram is living. He's living in a polytheistic world. He's not with the Israelites, because guess what? There's no Israelites at this point. It's going to come generations later. But he's in a world where they're worshiping all these other gods. That's what he was born into. In fact, Sarai, his wife, is believed to be named after a goddess. And I picture Sarai, I picture Abram as they're wed and she's barren. And I picture them having people come to them and telling them, well, just pray to the God of fertility, and it'll be okay. But Abram and Sarai set themselves apart and said, no, we worship one God. In a polytheistic a world where they were worshiping many things, Abram and Sarai said, no, we worship one God. They were freaks in their world. They were outcasts. There was something different about them. There's something strange about them. And though they could have been said, well, you're cursed because you're not worshiping the God of fertility. You're not worshiping these other gods that could help you out. They said, no, we will continue to worship but one God. And the reason I know that they worship one God is because they hear from the one God. Did you read what it said there? He says that now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to land that I will show you. God spoke to him in that moment and in that season, in that life. And I can tell you this, that as we read Genesis through Revelation, what we find out is that God only speaks to those who worship him. He speaks to those who worship him. Because he says, I will inhabit the praises of my people. I will come down. I will be amongst them. They will be my people, and I will be theirs. He's waiting for individuals that will set themselves apart from everyone else. And we find Abram a man, and we see throughout Abram's life, he was a man of worship, continually looking for opportunities to bring God glory, to set up altars. We'll talk about that more next week. But to set up moments and places where he could remember, moments and places where he would worship, moments and places where he recognized that God is great and greatly to be praised. And here we find Abram in a land of polytheism, in a land of multiple gods, a land of depravity, a land where they're doing everything that they want to do their way. We find him there, and God says, okay, it's time for you to come away from them. I've got something for you to do. I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. You've shown yourself as a true worshiper, a man and a wife who've set yourself aside, apart from everything else. You've shown what it is to worship me. Now come away with me. I've got something cool for you to do. I'm gonna make you, and we know, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to bless everyone that blesses you. I'm going to be your God. Yeah, your wife is barren for now, but understand, I've still got a plan for you. And we see in this moment as Abram worships, we recognize one key element in that as a man of worship. As a man of worship, what he recognized, what we see is that he heard from God. He heard from God. And I want to talk to some people this morning that aren't hearing from God. And you would tell me, I don't hear from God. I haven't heard from him. I'm not sure the direction. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure of my next step. I'm not sure, right? You've not listened to the next right thing message, right? I'm not sure of where I'm going. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not hearing from God. Can I tell you something? If I read the word, what I find is those who worship God will hear from God. Okay? Are you guys with me? If I worship God, I will hear from God. And if I don't hear from God, what does it mean I need to do? It's not very hard, guys. I worship God, and if I don't hear, I continue to worship God. And then if I don't hear, I continue to worship God. And if I don't hear, I continue to worship God. And I continue to worship him. I continue to give him praise until what? I hear from God. Because, not that anything in Christendom is a formula, but this is a pretty good formula. Because God says and promises, I will dwell among you. I will be among you. I will spend time with you. Just worship me. Just be with me. Just pour yourself out to me. And the more you do that, guess what? All the other stuff starts to get away from you. And then it's going to get quiet enough because the world, you're not hearing the world anymore. You're going to hear me. But I feel like too many times what you and I do is when I can't hear from God, we pray. Okay, and I'm going to make some people maybe a little mad at me right now. But maybe it's time to stop praying and it's time to start worshiping. Because what's the problem with prayer? Well, you and I, most of us, how we pray, we're praying, God, fix this. God, change this. God, heal me here. God, move in this situation. God, I need you to do that. And I need you to do this. God, if you will just come through, I will worship you, is what we're saying. God, if you'll just fix my life, I will worship you. Then I will worship. God, I've lost my jump. I lost my dance. I lost my clap. I lost my hallelujah because I've got all this stuff going on. I'm in the midst of the storm. And God's saying, yeah, but in the midst of the storm, worship me. In the midst of the struggle, why aren't you worshiping me? Do you not look at the word, what the word says? Worship me first. In fact, let's go to Jesus. He kind of knows a thing or two. And what do the disciples say? Master, teach us how to pray. And Jesus responds like this. He says, pray in this manner. Not pray these words. It's great to know those words. There's nothing wrong with the Lord's Prayer. But it's the manner. The manner, not the words. But how does he start? Anybody know? You guys are really out of sync there. Try it one more time. Hallowed be thy name. You guys are good Sunday school kids. What does that start? That's absolute worship. Anybody know the ending? Come on, Ross. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Is that not worship? Is that now, even Jesus says, hey, if you're going to really pray to the Father, if you're going to communicate to the Father, you better start the right way, you better end the right way. You start with worship and you end with worship. You've got to sandwich that in. And sometimes I think we get so caught up in our own lives and we're like, God, just fix it. God, just fix it. God, why aren't you fixing it? And God's sitting there going, can you worship me without me fixing it? Am I really that big of a God that I deserve worship whether your life is good or not? Am I really that great of a God that in the midst of the worst moments of your life, you can say, hallelujah. In the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of those moments, that I can say, I don't care what's going on here. I know in whom I rest. I know in whom I live and breathe and have my being. That I understand we must start with worship. You want God to fix everything? Great, because he can do it. He's the God of the impossible. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask, all that we can think, all that we can fathom. He's able to do all those things. But we don't worship him because he can do all those things. I got one person who believes that. We don't worship him because he can fix my life. Because he's already fixed it, by the way. We don't worship him because he's going to set everything right and I'm going to get justice and life's going to get back and I'm going to get healed and I'm going to get the finances I need. My relationship's going to be fixed and all this. That's not why I worship him. Now, when it happens, you better be ready for a big shout. But even before it happens, you should be ready for a big shout. Because you are handcrafted by God. The fact that you live right now is enough to praise him the rest of your days. That there is a God that loved you so much, that created you, that formed you, that breathed into you. That should be enough for you to worship. And Abram understood that. He understood that. He had every right to be mad at God. God, you keep promising that you're going to bring a nation out of me. And that woman that you gave me, she'd be fine, but she's not pregnant yet. Read your word. That's what they say. She was an old lady. She was good looking. He said, she's awesome. I love my wife to death, but God, you promised this. And here it is 10 years later, still nothing. And God, I'm getting a little old. I don't want to be called grandpa by my kids. I want to be able to throw a ball. Amen. Some of you older parents, some of you grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. You used to have a little bit more energy when you were younger, didn't you? You could run with the kids. Now they come over and you're like, oh, help me. Abram's getting old, and yet guess what? He continually praised God. Because it wasn't about what God was doing, it was about who God was. He is worthy of our praise. And so I want to tell somebody this morning, you're dealing with some hardships, you're dealing with troubles, you're dealing with situations, you're dealing with stuff in your life right now, and you're like, but God could fix that in a minute. Yes, he could. But maybe he's waiting for you to worship him first. Maybe he's waiting for you to actually understand and say how great a God you are and actually mean it. Not begin, oh, great, how great are you are, and then look at your checkbook and realize, well, it's not gotten any better. I'm going to praise him a little bit louder until it gets better. No. I'm not even going to look at my checkbook. Do you see the difference there? It doesn't matter the situation I'm in. He is worthy of my praise. It doesn't matter the circumstance, and I will praise him as I go to my deathbed. I love when I walk in sometimes to these hospital rooms, and this might sound a little morbid to you, and people who are on their last breath, they're in those moments, this peace comes upon them. And so many that I've spent, some of them are like, can we just worship? Can you just start singing? And you start worshiping God. We're not praying for healing anymore. We're not praying for that. We're not praying for nothing. We're like, just worship. All of a sudden, there's a peace that comes upon them that all those prayers did nothing for before. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And we think by praying, if I just get on my knees and I just scream out to God, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way. Understand, there's times that we need to pray. But we get there and we're like, God, where are you? And if I'm not hearing God, my next step has to be that I'm not worshiping enough. Maybe it's time I turn on some worship music. Maybe it's time I went to the Psalms and started worshiping through the Psalms. Maybe I start reading those and I begin to speak those out loud. You know, they're worship songs. Maybe it's time for me to talk about how great my God is and how incredible he is. Maybe it's time for me to recognize that I'm not going to worry about this because there's a guy that came on this earth who was fully God, fully man, that says, guess what? Cast all your cares on me and I'll take care of it. He said that if you seek me first, if you worship me, all these things will be added unto you. What was all the things? All the things that you need. Don't seek those. Don't worry about those. Well, Pastor, I need my kids. They've run away from God. They're going other things. Okay, great. Worship God. Pastor, my health is bad. Worship God. Pastor, my finances are bad. Worship God. Pastor, my job is bad. Worship God. Pastor, this is my boss is horrible. Worship God and maybe find another job. But, you know, understand, we got to worship God. That should be the first and foremost. And if we want to get back to perfection, the Garden of Eden, do you understand what they did? They worshiped God. And they knew as they were worshiping, God was going to show up and they were going to walk with him. And then they could pray, which is communication with God. But they recognized he had to go there first. And Abram was a man that recognized, I must worship. But Abram did not just distinct himself from all of the world because he was only worshiping God, not like everyone else. He didn't only do it because he worshiped him, whether things were good or things were bad. You know, the thing that sets Abram apart, that something that you and I need a lot more of, is he obeyed. I got the hallelujah corner and I got the people that are scared about what I'm about to say next. He worshiped, and then when God came, he said, okay. God shows up and says, hey, Abram, I love those songs you're singing. I love the worship. I love that. I've come down now. I want to do something. Why don't you pack everything up and hightail it? I'm gonna take you to a land that you don't know, that you've never been, that nobody's ever been from your family. I'm going to take you here, and you're going to go into this place. And Abram said, sounds like a great idea. He didn't spend time with God and tell him, okay, God, well, exactly where am I going? How long do I get to get there? Are you going to supply everything for me? You know, I've got a lot of stuff. I'm going to bring my nephew too, and he's got stuff. He's one of those guys that likes to buy, you know, designer clothing, so he's got shoes beyond measure. He didn't worry about any of that. It says that he just got ready and said, hey, you want to go? Let's go. Lot, come on. Sarai, come on. Everybody we got, let's go. It wasn't an easy thing. They weren't newlyweds. You guys remember being newlyweds, anybody? You have nothing. That's easy to move. When Pastor Jen and I got married and we moved, it was our car. I mean, we had no furniture. We had no nothing. We were going to move into the military base. In fact, we got there. Quick short story, it's just a fun one. We got there because I got married in between my technical training and my base, right? So when I got to the base, they didn't know I was married. So they put me into the men's dorm with a twin-size bed. But we were newlyweds, so we slept in that twin-size bed for a couple days. It was horrible. But anyways, where was I going? I'm all embarrassed now. I got on my own rabbit trail. That never happens. Anyways, he didn't worry about all that. He didn't worry about what's going to happen next. Just pack up and go. Abram obeyed. He continually obeyed God. Okay, this is what you want me to do? Okay. Does anybody remember what he does with the promised child? Nobody. Okay, no one's read that one. Isaac. He obeyed. The most ludicrous thing God could ask, something that God says is an abomination to kill your child, to sacrifice your child. By the way, polytheism, that was a many things that they did. There was gods that you would sacrifice your children. And here God's saying, I pulled you out because you're not like everybody else. I pulled you out because you understand. And now that you finally got the promise, now go kill the kid. And Abram says, okay. You and I look at that, we think that's insanity. Well, I look at that, that's insanity. Because I would have had a couple words for God. I would have went to my Bible. They didn't have the Bible back then, by the way. But I would have went to my Bible. I said, but God, I know this is your word. Abram didn't do any of that. He didn't even argue. Now, along the way, he's worshiping. Along the way, he's telling everybody how great his God is. When his son says, well, we don't have a sacrificial lamb. We don't have a ram. We don't have anything. And what does Abram say? Well, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. He's worshiping him on the way to go sacrifice his son. Anybody get that? Anybody think how bad that would have been? You're on a journey and you know the one thing you're supposed to do. And yet he just continually worshiped him. Abram was a worshiper who obeyed. But lest we think Abram is an incredible man, understand he was an imperfect, perfect worshiper. He was an imperfect, perfect worshiper. He was a man that obeyed, a man that worshiped, regardless of the situations, regardless of what was going on, what was happening, right? He was doing all those things that you think are right, and then all of a sudden, he gets scared, he gets fearful. And he kind of tells a white lie. Well, she's not really my wife, you know, she's my sister. And so, you know, yeah, okay, you know. Because I don't want to die. I don't want to be taken care of. Like, what in the world? He was a liar. He did it twice, by the way, if you've read your Bible. Curses happen, things happen. But I want you to understand something. Although Abram continually failed, he never stopped worshiping. He continually fell short, but then he went and worshiped. He lied and God punished and reprimanded, and what did he do? He worshiped. He set up an altar. We'll talk about that more next week. He set up these moments and says, God, you are still great. God, I'm still there for you. And what we have to recognize is if we are worshipers, a true worshiper, we'll worship no matter the circumstance. A true worshiper will obey no matter what God is saying to me. I can always tell a true worshiper. Can I just tell you this? This test. I talk about these tests all the time. You're supposed to test and know and see, right? That we're told to look at people and look at their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. There's tests. Do you know that? There are tests on this earth to know who it is that I'm talking with and who it is I should be listening to. And it frustrates me sometimes when people listen to people that don't have fruit. Right? They don't have the right resume. If you called their references would say, no way, don't listen to this guy. What are you doing for the love of Pete? Run. And yet, for some reason, because it sounds good, we listen. For some reason, we're like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna pay attention to you. Yeah, you've done this. Yeah, you've never been able to hold a job, but I'm gonna ask you for job advice. You've never held a good relationship, but I'm gonna ask you for relational advice. Oh yeah, you can sing it. Oh man, no, I'm gonna go there. You can be Taylor Swift. And everybody and their brother and mother and everyone else, grandmas or Swifties, and they're paying attention to life lessons from Taylor Swift. She can't even sing. I just lost half of the church right there. They're going to run away. There's this thing called auto-tune. Never mind. But they listen. They listen. And yet when we look at our lives, we look at the situations, I can tell a worshiper because guess what? A true worshiper, when I talk to them, God gets into the conversation. We might start talking about one thing, but all of a sudden we start talking about God. Every conversation leads to God. That's a true worshiper. Now, next time I talk to you, if you go right into God, I'm going to know that you're faking it. But a true worshiper is someone who begins, you look at the world and you're looking through the eyes of God. And then everything just starts to remind you of God. Where you're just walking down the street, or you see a movie, or you see a situation, or you hear something, and you start singing a worship song. Just at some point, God comes into the conversation. Why? Because you can't help it. Because He's in your presence, because you're in His presence. You've been worshiping Him. Abram would have been a guy like that. I want you to understand, Abram did things that weren't law yet. Do you know that Abraham tithed before it was the law? Do you understand that? Abraham sacrificed before it was the law. Okay, I just want to make sure you guys understand that. Abraham did all this stuff. Why? Because he was in communion with God. He was worshiping God all the time. So when somebody came up to Abraham, he started talking about his God. It probably made him a little sick, a little tired. Come on, Abraham. Are you going to talk about God one more time? But can I tell you, isn't that what we should be? Shouldn't we almost be at the point of annoying people? Now go thee into the whole world and annoy people. But shouldn't be, if God is the greatest thing that we've ever experienced, if we're truly worshiping Him, shouldn't it get to the point where they're like, just be quiet about it. I'm tired of hearing about this God. That's all you ever talk about is your God. And you're like, well, then try to shut me up because it's not going to work. Because God is greater than anything else. Yeah, I could tell you about this new restaurant here. I could talk about crumble cookies all day long. But man, I start talking about God a little bit, you get upset at me. I could tell a true worshiper, and you should be able to tell a true worshiper, because they talk about God a lot. And the other part of that, they start talking about what God is talking to them about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are confused, I can tell. Understand, God wants to speak. How many times have I said that? And I'll continue to say it. God is speaking at all times. We don't listen to him. We don't hear him because we're too busy worshiping everything else. We're too busy worshiping the storm. That which I focus on is that which I worship. I've got a bad relationship. I begin to focus on that. Guess what I begin to worship? The bad relationship. Well, Pastor, that's stupid. I don't worship the bad relationship. I don't worship my bad. What are you focused on? If that's all you can think about at night, if that's all your mind is on, how do I fix this? How do I change this? Guess what? That's what you're worshiping has become an idol to you. Oh, but Pastor, I've been praying to God, and I believe God can heal it. Yeah, but what if you just start worshiping him? What if you turn your eyes? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We don't have auto-tune, so I'm sorry. What if we did that? What if we were people that recognize if I was really created to worship God, then my one focus needs to be worshiping God. What if it's really true that I need to push all this other stuff away? As your pastor, please listen. Nobody ever listens. Will there be just one today that'll listen? And I'm joking around, but I'm being actually very, very serious. Will one listen to me this morning, please? Before you beg God to do one more thing, would you start to worship him? Would you lay down your weight at the altar? Would you lay down your worries? And would you just start worshiping him? And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Most people are dealing with things that they don't have to deal with because they've never learned to worship. They've learned to sing a lot of worship songs. They learn to praise him when things are good, but they've never learned to worship God. There's a big difference. Abram was a man that worshiped God. When he failed, he worshiped. When time was tough, he was worshiping. When he was in chaos, confusion, didn't know what to do, guess what he did? He worshiped. Every single moment. He didn't try to fix his world, and when he did try to fix his world, guess what? That's when he failed. But then he went back and he said, you know what? I'm going to worship God. Don't tell me you're a worshiper because of how loudly you can sing. Don't tell me you're a worshiper because you can dance and you can run around this place. Show me you're a worshiper because in the midst of the storm, you're still praising louder than anyone else. Show me that you're a worshiper. Show God that you are a worshiper, because no matter the circumstances, no matter the situations, it's not woe is me, it's great are you, Lord. No matter what's going on in your life, that you say, but God, I know that you are sovereign. And though you don't fix my issues, God, you are worthy of my praise. No matter what's going to go on in this moment, I'm going to wake up, God, and it's going to be tough. Anybody had those days? I know this day is gearing up. It's going to be a bad day. But I don't wake up any differently than I did the day before. I shouldn't. I should wake up and say, but you are still worthy of my praise. You are still worthy of my adoration. And so this morning, we're going to go into a time of worship as we flip kind of worship and the word around. And that's my challenge to you. I really have this idea that maybe today somebody in the midst of your struggle, you can gain a shout. That in the midst of the pain, that maybe you can learn to dance again. In the midst of the worry and the confusion and these moments, that you could recognize that he is still worthy of your praise. That maybe today in the midst of your failures, where you don't feel like you're good enough to worship him, you recognize that you were made to worship him. So therefore, your only failure is when you don't worship. When you sin, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. You and I are called, though, to worship Him. Can we do that this morning? Can we honestly push away everything you desire right now? Unless it's God, I hope that's your desire. But can you push aside right now and say, you know what, God? Above all things, I want you. God, I'm not here so you'll fix my problems. God, I'm not here so my life gets better. In fact, God, I don't even expect that when I walk out those doors that my finances are going to be better. God, I don't expect that my health is going to be better. I'm not even focused on that. Can we, for a half an hour, as a church, say we want one thing? I want God. Can we do that? Push aside, some of you, man, you're carrying heavy weights. I'm not diminishing that. Some of you have got, you've got kids and grandkids that there's a battle going on. I'm not diminishing that. But can we truly actually finally believe that there's a God that not only is He's able to do all the things that I can imagine and think of, but whether it changes or not, that He's still worthy of my praise? Can we get to the moment where we say, God, you are so great that all this trouble, all these things, you know what? They just fall away in the midst of your presence. There's a story of the disciples, and they're on the boat, and it's the midst of the storm. You guys know the story. You've been around. And Jesus comes walking to them, and they're like, it's a ghost. What is it? They're all scared. And Peter looks out and says, if that's you, Jesus, bid me to come. Peter walks on the water for a little bit and then allows the struggles of life to take hold, and he begins to sink. But in the one brief moment that he was worshiping God, he was able to stand on the heights. He was able to stand on the waves. He was able to stand in the midst of the storms. Everything else just went away. Could you and I be Peter this morning? Not the Peter that looks at the waves, but the Peter that looks at Jesus. Where we can actually stand on top of those waves. We can stand on top of those storms. Because the end of that story is Jesus saves him because he failed. Jesus saves him, pulls him out, gets on the boat, and then what does he do? You guys are all scared, but he says, peace, be still. So just worship me. Can we do that this morning? We've said this multiple times. This is a free place. What does that mean? That means that seat you're sitting in, you don't have to sit there. If you need to find a corner to worship, you need to walk around and worship, it doesn't matter. You need to kneel, worship. You need to come to the altar, worship. You need to dance, worship. Worship Him. Can we, for 30 minutes, focus on how great God is? Can we do that? So would you stand with me this morning? Father God, I thank you that you are a God greater than all things. God, that you are worthy of my praise no matter the situation, no matter the struggle, no matter what is going on in my life right now. God, you are worthy of it. And so, Father, as a church, Life Church at Easton right now, as a body of believers, as a family of God, we come, God, and we're going to focus on you. God, I'm not looking for a healing. I'm not looking for restoration of relationships. God, I'm not looking for my finances to be better. I'm not looking for my mental health to be better. I'm not looking for anything but you. I focus on you this morning. God, I focus on what it is that you desire to do in and through me. So God, I focus on you. Thank you.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. And now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. Oh, no. And this is our God. This is who he is. What he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? You did, you did. Who paid for all of my sin? Nobody but Jesus. Your voice to him. Oh, you- Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do. And your hand is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. And your voice is calling me out. And right now, I know you're able. You never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know you never will. Oh, no, you never will. Everything is possible. Everything is possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. A new my heart of stone, taking over like a Jericho, and my walls are all crashing down. And right now, I know you're able. My God, come through again. You can do all things. Yes, you can. Can do all things but fail, 'cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know you can do, and you can do all things. Oh yes, you can do all things but fail, 'cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know you never lost a battle. Come on, do you believe that? You never lost a battle. You never will. You never lost a battle. You never lost a battle. You never lost a battle. You never will. Oh, you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. You never lost a battle. You never will. Oh, you never lost a battle. Jesus, you never lost a battle. You never lost a battle. You never will. in the dark, but you were working. It was painful, it was hard, but you were working all things for my good. I couldn't feel you at the time, but you were working, full of questions, wondering why, but you
over my life.
I just stop and look back over my life, I just think, oh Jesus, how good you have been. My soul sings, you've been so faithful, gracious. If I can just get your love on my mind, I'll get grateful over and my soul sings. Great is, great is. Come on, sing it again. When I look back over my life and I think of all the times you've been good, oh my soul, great is. When I get your love, when I get your love on my mind, I get all over again, my soul sings. Great is your. Everything was going right. I found joy in the morning. I felt peace through the night. There's so much to be thankful for. All the works that you've done. Every victory I've seen. Every battle you've won. So I will bless you, Lord, at all times. My lips will always sing your praise. I will exalt your name forever. I will exalt you all of my days. I will bless you, Lord. Heart's been shattered and torn, but you were right there beside me every step of the way. You'll never leave or forsake me, so I'll continue. I will bless you, Lord, at all times. don't you get tired on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up out of your seat and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get tired on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion right inside of your lungs. Get up, get up, get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get tired on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up, oh, get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get tired on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. God,
So I'll throw up my hands, I'll praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for the King, except for this heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I have a challenge for you this week. I have a challenge. Those moments, those times that you just don't feel it. Those moments, those times that are not the normal times of worship. My challenge for you is to turn those into moments of worship. When the frustration hits, or the loneliness hits, or the sleepless nights hit, when you're at your office, at your desk, when it seems like the most absurd time, I'm challenging you to worship at that time. When you're doing the dishes, I'm challenging you to worship. I'm challenging you to turn the TV off and do a little worship. I'm challenging you to worship. To be an Abraham, to be a man that's going to worship. That's the first challenge. The second challenge then is I'm asking you to listen. To worship and then expect God is going to speak. To believe that God actually inhabits the praises of his people, that he enthrones himself, that he's just waiting for somebody. Pastor, I've never heard his voice before. Worship harder. Because I believe in those moments, God comes down and he'll begin to speak to you. And let me make it very, very simple. How do I know the voice of God? He will tell you something that's full of love and probably out of your comfort zone. The enemy is going to come and steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to talk bad to you, talk down to you, try to focus you on other things. But God is going to come in, and he's going to be telling you things. Things that might sound impossible, but they're bathed in love. And sometimes the bathed in love is, hey kid, you're going the wrong direction. But it's because he's calling you back into a relationship with him. So I'm asking you, challenge number one is to worship him. Challenge number two is to listen. Expect, God, I'm entering into a time of worship, but I'm entering in because I want to hear from you. That's okay to do. In fact, it's the right thing to do. God, because I'm trying to get back to the perfect place of worship, the perfect place where I walk with you. So you're going to talk to me. So God, I'm listening. Challenge number three, obey. Whatever he says, obey it. Whatever he says, obey it. Well, Pastor, I was worshiping and he told me to go outside and talk to my neighbor. Obey it. I don't know what to say. He didn't tell you to go out and talk a specific way. He just told you to go out. And maybe it's just the high that'll change their lives. Maybe it'll just change your life. I believe, and that's the challenge that God set me on this week and set me to set before you. You want to be an Abram? He was a failure. Recognize that. He wasn't perfect. Okay? We love to put these guys on pedestals. That guy messed up over and over again. David, we'll talk about David in coming weeks. That man messed up more times than I can count. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. He was a worshiping warrior. You might be a failure, but the only time you fail is when you stop worshiping. So challenge one, worship him. Worship him. Find those times to worship. Challenge number two, listen. God, what are you saying to me? And if you don't hear him, worship longer. And then challenge number three, obey. God, whatever it is you say. God, whatever it is you say, I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. Because if it's God who's called you into it, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to do what God planned it to do. And you may do something, and you may not see a response. You may not see what you thought would have happened because you planned it out in your head that it's going to be perfect. That's not for you. You were to do what you've been asked to do. God will take care of the rest. But Pastor, I shared Jesus with them, and I just knew that they were going to be saved, and they just looked at me like I was dumb. That's okay. You did what you were supposed to do. You're done. It's now time for God to do what he's going to do. So will you do that? Will you partner with me this week? Find the absurd times of worship, the times that just don't make any sense to worship. Will you say, okay, God, I'm going to worship you right now. I'm going to take my lunch break, worship you right now. And then I'm going to listen. And then, God, whatever you say, I'm going to obey. So, Father, here we are. We partner together this morning. Father, as we've entered in a time of just worshiping you, God, I'm not asking for anything but your presence. God, I'm not asking for you to heal and to fulfill my life, Father. I'm just asking you to come. And God, I pray for each and everybody, every person, every body, everyone, whether they're online or they hear, Lord God, that this week, as we find those times that don't seem natural to worship, God, in the struggles and the loneliness and in the times of just chores, of the monotony of life, Father God, when we set ourselves aside and say, God, I'm going to worship you in this moment, God, would you do one thing? Would you speak to us? Because God, we open ourselves up to you. God, let us hear your voice. And Father God, then let us be those that respond to that voice. God, what you say, I will do. God, give me the ears to hear. God, but also, give me the feet to go walk it. Give me the mouth to be one who speaks it. Give me the hands to do it. Father God, whatever it is, God, I'm here. We're here this week, oh God. God, I believe that you're going to do incredible things. You're going to speak to people who may have never even heard you before. But God, I believe you're going to speak because we're going to set ourselves aside from the world. We're going to set ourselves aside and not seek the gifts, but we, God, are seeking you, the giver of all good things. Would you do that this morning? Just lift your hands just for a moment. And would you personally let him know what your desire is? If that's your desire this week, say, God, I'm going to worship you. God, I'm going to listen. And God, I'm going to obey. Go ahead, just let him know this morning. If that's you. Holy, holy. Thank you.
If that is your desire, I just want to let you know that we do have Deeper Life tonight, which is an opportunity to worship God no matter what you're going through right now. I hope that you have a good week. Remember that He's with you. He is for you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And God bless you.